We shall share our scripture this morning. I know we're running a little bit behind schedule, but got some exciting news to share with you as we look to the Lord in His holy word. Our scripture today is from Matthew chapter 19, and it's verses 13 through 15. Matthew chapter 19, disregard 17. Amen. Matthew chapter 19, verses 13 through 15. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed from there. From this, we want to speak from the message today. Don't block the blessing. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to ask Reverend Givens if you'll come up and see here. Not here. Okay. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you again for your amazing grace and for your love that you've given us. Pray that you'd bless us now through your word, that we might be able to take it in, and that God, by taking in your word, we might be doers. Help us to always live faithfully. We give you the praise and all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name that we ask it all. And all the believers said, amen. Don't block the blessing. As we look to God and we can see that He has blessed mankind down through the ages, and yet there have been so many times where blessings have been blocked or people have attempted to hinder God's hand upon the lives of people. To give an example, Joseph's brothers, they didn't understand the gifts that God had placed in him. And rather than appreciating him, they wanted to kill him. And the Bible says that they actually sold him to Ishmaelite traders, all because they didn't understand who he was. And they didn't understand that they were blocking this man's blessing. The Bible also speaks of King Saul, the first king of Israel. Being king, he had authority. But when he saw that there was a young man threatening his position, Saul not only tried to hinder David, he tried to kill him because he didn't understand the anointing that was upon his life. Saul tried to block his blessing. Even our Lord Jesus faced opposition and faced trials and struggles where people didn't really comprehend the depth and the breadth of his ministry. They went about to accuse him, and then they went about to scandalize him, everything they could to try to attempt to block Jesus from doing what his mission stated. And even to that point, they condemned him to a Roman cross, all because they didn't understand who he was. They wanted to block the blessing. 1 Corinthians 2 and 8 says, "Had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." They would not have gone to the point of hindering him if they had known who he was and what his mission was. So often in our lives, good intention in mind, we might even find ourselves blocking somebody's blessing. As we think about this, there's a question that comes to our mind, and what we might call the blocking the blessing test. Number one, do I think I know everything? Number two, do I fail to listen to the needs of people around me? Thirdly, do I fail to help others and seek to help them who are down and not realize I could have been in their shoes? Do I sometimes blame people for their condition? Or am I too busy doing what I think is important rather than taking time to share with others? If you honestly answered yes to any one or more of those questions, then you and I are guilty of blocking the blessing. This is a tremendous time that we're living in where people are being misunderstood and misrepresented. A lot of things happening in this world. One of the things that you don't want to happen is that you prejudging people or you responding to people without knowing what they need. And listen to what I'm saying. Don't try to help me if you don't know what I need. If you don't know what I need, you might give me something that's actually bad for me. We have to be careful that we don't find ourselves blocking someone's blessings. Isn't it interesting that the disciples had been with Jesus for a long time now? They had walked with the Lord and they had talked with him and they knew what was on his mind. Now, I know that they meant well. And so do you. And so do I. We want to do the right thing. They didn't want to see crowds of people coming in on Jesus. And after all, these were just little children. They were still under their parents' care. They were little children. We heard something about that on last Sunday when we shared with you the message concerning the little children and how that Jesus was wanting to bless them. And we have to understand that as little children, they didn't have a lot of economic value. You know, they were not very important. They didn't occupy a position. They didn't work jobs. They were more what we call liabilities than assets in the minds of man, in our human mind. And yet, the disciples came to realize that Jesus was not of that same mind. The Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let me give you a point of something that happened to me. I grew up with a guy, and somehow or another, our paths didn't go in the same direction. He went one way. He partied. He loved to party, and so did I at a certain time in my life. But there are times when you have to straighten up, and as the old folks say, fly right. Well, he kept going in that same path, and years later, my, what a difference it has made to serve the Lord. And while I don't doubt that he maybe has had encounters with God, I made a statement one day. When someone asks, can you see so-and-so? I said, no, he's just a bum. Just a bum. We can block somebody's blessing by not knowing what they need. But isn't it good to know that when you needed help, God looked beyond your fault? Now, don't say you don't have faults. But God looks beyond your fault and my fault, and he sees your need. So let's look at this. Let's look at this because we want, like the disciples, we want to understand. We want to know what's on the mind of Christ. He said, now suffer the little children to come unto me. Don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Hold that in your mind, and then look at the fact that when Jesus laid his hands upon the people, whenever Christ lays his hands upon you, he confers blessing. This was one of the traditions in Jewish culture of conferring blessing on someone when you would lay your hand upon them. And so he laid his hand upon them, and he blessed them. And then he departed. In other words, he made it his business to put something on their life that they would need, give them a gift that they would need. Remember, it was not an old man that was anointed when David was picked out among his seven brothers. Are you with me? As a matter of fact, the dad was calling him the last, the one that was least likely to succeed. And that's the one that God picked out. Be careful who you call a bum. Be careful who you call no good. In your eyes, they might not be any good, but in the eyes of God, just give him time. And the Lord will make a way out of no way. So let's look at this. Let's look at this. Why did the disciples not understand? And why should we look at this? First of all, the disciples should have known better. They should have known that Jesus was blessing everybody. Anytime he would bless people who were not even of the Jewish culture, he told one woman, he said, "Now it's not meet for me to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs." And the woman caught what he was saying and said, "Yes, but even the dogs get the crumbs. So I'll just take a crumb." And Jesus blessed the woman with healing. Do you understand what I'm saying? They should have known all the time that he had looked at crippled people. He had looked at people who were demon-possessed and looking beyond what their situation was. And we got to be careful not to judge people by their condition. Amen. What they were yesterday and how they laid down last night doesn't mean that God can't turn them around today. Amen. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. So the disciples should have known better. They should have known better. And they didn't know better, then they should have done better. You know, how can we do better? So we got to know better, but then we got to look at how we can actually do better. We got to put this thing in action. Right. We go to church and the pastor said so-and-so. Yeah, he preached about it. Oh, thank God he preached. But what are we planning on doing about it? That's right. How do we put some feet to this thing? If Jesus said, "Bring the little children to me," then I believe that we ought to make a conscious effort to get every soul, every life, because not only the little children, but the big children, as the folks say. Big children need him also. The big children need prayer. The big children need the hand of God working in their life. Thank God I was young, but now I'm old and I'm a big child, but I still need God's help. And if you were honest with yourself, you would admit you need him also. Charles Dickens, in his Christmas Carol, puts it this way, like little Timmy said, "May God bless us one and all." That is something that we all desire and that we all need in our lives. I was reading the commentary in Clark's commentary. He said one of the reasons why we have so much wickedness among our younger generation is that we're not bringing them to the foot of the cross. Now, that may not be the total reason, but I guarantee you it's one of the reasons. Amen. You know, when I was growing up, we didn't have the option of whether or not you wanted to go to church. How many of y'all can bear witness to that? Amen. You eat bread in my house, you sleep in my bed, you go to church when I say go to. Do I have somebody can talk to me on that? So we have to look at this. But then the other thing that we've got to recognize, and hopefully we'll understand this, when we block someone's blessing, we're opening up the door for the devil. If we don't want God to bless them, then how and who do we want to work in their lives? If we don't bring them to Christ, if we don't put him in the hands of the Lord. I remember one time I came home, you know, I wasn't saved. And so Bacardi Rum and everybody else were my best friends. And I came home and Mama, she simply told me, "I'm going to leave you in the hands of the Lord." I didn't know what that meant. Didn't know what it meant. I trembled when she said that. And you know, sometime when you're half drunk and the other half that ain't drunk start realizing this is a serious thing here. And that began my quest to know God and to comprehend who he was. To understand his grace. I was sitting at my table the other day and I was thinking about the fact how much God loved me. Amen. When I didn't even know him, didn't even care about him, yet he sought me out. I know some of you in the same condition. You were half drunk. If you weren't half drunk, you were half crazy. And the other half of you woke up and said, "Wait a minute, I can't stay this way. Am I preaching to somebody?" You understand that big children need God. As the hymn writer said, "I need thee every hour. And Lord, I want you to help me because I cannot make this journey all by myself." And so what we want to do in our quest to understand what was going on and why Jesus wanted to bless the children, why we should not block the blessing but become channels of blessing. See, it's not enough for you to get blessed. As the psalm writer said in Psalm 23, your cup is going to run over. Amen. And when your cup runs over, you want to get close to somebody else so that they can get blessed. Every Sunday we come and we get filled up, and then we run our tank on empty, and then we come back and we want to get filled up again. But your cup is going to overflow, and God's going to bless you. God's going to give you so much that you can't help but tell somebody else, come see a man that can do all things. Come see a man that can set me free. Come see somebody who can turn your life around. His name is Jesus. Number one, we got to value people. How much were the disciples truly valuing these little children? As I said, they had no economic value. They didn't have jobs. And some of them probably were still in diapers. And the thing about that day, you were to go on and play and leave grown folk alone. And if you were around, you'd be seen and not heard. That was the value of little children. They had no social value. They weren't invited into the circles and conversation. And Jesus turned that upside down when he showed up in the temple one day and started teaching the teachers. He turned it on his head because he could tell them what was in the law. They had no spiritual value because they were considered infants. And yet Jesus said, bring them to me. When you think about that statement, God made all of us. And when you think about that statement, you were a child also yourself. What if no one helped you to be blessed? No, what if no one encouraged you? What if nobody told you, go to school, baby, get something in your head? What if nobody took time to tell you, you're going to be somebody in life, planted a seed in your life, rather than tell you, go on somewhere and sit down. Somebody valued you. And you need to value them. Never look at people, different culture, different race. Never look down at them, those folk. Wait a minute, God made all folk. I wish I could get something into the head of crazy folk that believe in supremacy. There's only one supremacy, and his name is God Almighty. There's only one. You don't have two, you don't have three. And everything that God made in this world, it all belongs to him. Last time I read Psalm 24, it said the earth is still the Lord's and everything in it. Y'all can shout if you want to, but that's the truth. That is the truth. Value all things. Never look down on anybody. But by the grace of God, that one that you look down on could have been you. Second thing is understand the need. Understand what it is that people need. The disciples did not know what the children needed. Oh, take them children going somewhere. They don't need it. How you know what I don't need? I might be smiling on the outside, but crying on the inside. Amen, somebody. A whole lot of you had, when you were putting on your makeup, you had to put on a smile as well because you didn't feel like it. Come on, somebody. And you men, while you were shaving and clothing yourself, you had to say, okay, I know I got these problems, but I'm getting ready to go to church now. And I don't want to show, as my mama said, I don't want to wear my feelings on my sleeve. Amen. Understand the need. We're in a generation now where we talk at people. We don't talk to them. We don't listen to them. Jesus was the kind of Savior with all that he did and with all of the things that he had to do. He took time. Even when two blind men came to him, two blind men, obviously he knew what they needed. But you know what? Christ was so polite. He asked them, what is it that you want me to do? Isn't that something? Isn't that something? Understand the need. When you understand the need, God will give you the strategy. He'll give you how you to reach people. Understand what it is that they need. And then lastly, the third thing that we got to look at, ask Jesus. If you don't know, ask the Lord. He said, now ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened. Philippians 4:6, it says, let all things be done through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let all things. How many things? All things. let it be done through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your request known unto God. See, prayer is the foundation of every action. No church should do anything without first praying. If you don't pray, don't do it. If you pray and God said move, amen, then you can do it. Prayer is the foundation. Secondly, prayer is the channel through which God can work. Prayer is the channel. When you seek God, He fills your life up. He puts something, while you're on your knees or on your face before God, the Lord puts something inside of you so that when you get up off your knees, you say, okay, when I went on my knees, the problem was bigger than me. But now I'm off my knees now. The problem is no problem because it's in the hands of God. How many of y'all have been there? You got to pray because God works through that channel of prayer. Then thirdly, prayer is also God's or response to God's goodness. In prayer, you will recognize that the Lord is good. When you're praying, you will fellowship with Him. No wonder Moses would take 40 days to talk to God. And then afterward, the Lord would give him, said, now, this is what I want you to do. But they fellowship. When you can learn to fellowship with God in prayer, you're going to learn something about God. You get to know Him. Amen. Ask Jesus. Make it a part of your regular day. Ask Jesus. You say, what can I ask Him? You can ask Him for strength. You can ask Him for wisdom. You can ask Him for guidance. You can ask the Lord to be merciful unto you, because there's never been a time in my life, and I'm sure in your life, where you didn't need God's mercy. And isn't it good to know that goodness and mercy are following you around anyway? Isn't it good to know that of all the things that God can do, He's good to you? Amen? He doesn't have to be good, but He just is good. The disciples needed to understand that. They need to understand that they were blocking someone's blessing. So here's some things I want you to remember before we close. Number one, remember, you didn't deserve it either. You didn't deserve it. No one comes to God based on your merit. Yeah, I've been in church a long time. That can't earn you any of God's blessing. This thing is called free grace. Free grace. Jesus did it all by Himself. He treaded the winepress of God alone. Nobody purchased your redemption. Nobody purchased your salvation but Jesus. So when you come to Him, you realize you don't deserve it. And you know, when folks act like they don't deserve it, you want to give them a second helping because they're so grateful. Some of you all are recipients of second helpings because you were just so great. Lord, I don't know why you do. I'm glad you're doing it, but I don't know why you're doing it. You don't deserve it. Secondly, think about the unconditional love of God. Jesus was not about to love these children based on their condition or based on something that they had done. That's the very fact that He said, of such is the kingdom of heaven. In other words, the kingdom of heaven is made up of people who have been unconditionally loved. What do you mean by that? The Lord can pick you up. The Lord can turn you around. The Lord can plant your feet on solid ground. You're in God's kingdom and you're a child of God based on nothing else but unconditional love. He decided that He was going to love you and you're not going to change His mind because His mind is made up. Isn't that something? God decided that long before you were made, He was going to love you. And there's not a thing you can do about it. But guess what? Some folks don't know it. That's why we got to bring them to the Lord, both little children and big children. We got to bring them to God because they don't know what God has planned for their life. They don't know what the Lord has in store. And then the last point I want to make before we go to our seat, God's blessing makes all the difference in the world. You look at your life. You may not be where you want to be. May not even be where you need to be. But look back over the journey. As one old preacher says, see how far the Lord has brought you. Now granted, I got a whole lot more that I need to do and a whole lot more that I need to happen in my life. But when I look back where He brought me from, somebody can say He brought me from a mighty long way. God kept his hand on me. God made a way out of no way. The Lord picked me up. God made me strong. And if I'm going to boast in the Lord. I close by telling you, you don't know who needs that blessing. You don't know who needs God's presence. When the prophet went out, Samuel, the Lord had given him a horn of oil, and he told him, said, "Now I want you to go out, and I want you to pour this oil on one of Jesse's sons." So they brought the first son to him. And oh, he was just a man of muscle. He had everything together. And Samuel said, "This is the one." God said, "That ain't the one. That ain't the one." Brought another son, Eliab, and brought another son. And God said, "Nope, that's not the one." And then the prophet kind of asked Jesse, "Well, you got anybody else?" He said, "Yeah, I got that little stripling out there, that little boy that's watching my sheep. You don't want him. Huh? We don't want them in our church. Huh?" And you know what God said? "Bring them on. Bring them on." Brought David to the house. Poured the oil on his head. Now, what looked like oil really was the movement of the Holy Spirit. Help me, somebody. Inside of that anointing was a giant slayer. Inside of that anointing was a Philistine deliverer. Inside of that anointing was a king in kid's clothes. You don't know who you're blessing when you bless somebody. That's why it's good for you and me to pray for one another. Because when you pray for each other, you're passing on a blessing. Don't block my blessing. Help me out. Pray for me. Pray my strength in the Lord. And guess what? God's anointing will show up. God will turn things around. God will move in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He plants his footstep on the sea and rides on every storm. Don't block my blessing, because I need Jesus. Anybody need Jesus? Anybody need the Lord? Block my blessing. I need my blessing. I need it. You might not need it. You might not think I don't need it. But I need it. I need it. Don't block my blessing. Now, our job, we got revival coming up. Our job, get the folk in here. They may not look like they need it, may not even look like they want it. Drag them on anyway. Because they need a blessing. And so do you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and kindness. I praise you, Lord, because you are worthy. Help us to be channels through which you can use, vessels through which you can bless others and pass it on. Because if the truth be known, the blessing got to us and the blessing delivered us because somebody reached out. In Jesus' name. May we do the same today. In your name we pray. And all the people said, amen. I'm going to give the invitation. I'm going to ask everyone to stand. If you've never surrendered your life to Christ, if you've never given the Lord control of your life, what a day to turn to Him. What a day to say, "Lord, I'm asking you to save me. I'm asking you to rule in my life." If there's someone today, you need the blessing, we invite you to come.